Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
So now you are a lumberjack, are you? After the winds, what we've had.
Oh, yes. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You got me for a minute there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, had a puzzled, quizzical face.
Yeah, my chainsaw broke as well, of course.
Well, of course.
Yeah, I couldn't get out the drive. Had a tree come straight. I was literally driving up my drive to go out and a tree fell in front of me. It missed me by
a whisker.
No, the cat wasn't under it, but it was... It was a couple of feet away.
I think in sunny Whitstable, Tankerton, where I am, we got off quite lightly. In fact, I think yesterday was the windiest day.
Well, we did have a wind up again. I've lost three trees now. I've got really big trees as well. They're big Norwegian fir trees.
5 inches.
150 foot tall.
And what are they, Norwegian spruces?
I haven't spoken to them. I don't know. I don't know if they're actually Norwegian.
No, we don't know.
we're
like a pickled herring.
You're going to hicker. Yeah. Okay.
You got bay trees, haven't you?
I had three potted bay trees, and all three of them snapped. Yeah.
Have you still got the root? Will it regrow?
No, because it's ripped them out. It's.
I tell you what, because my Darcy Greyhound, who's a rescue dog, as you know, 4 months on now, she chewed a yucca that we had, and it sprouted out all on its own again.
What, out of the dog?
Out the pot.
Was it self-fertilising or something?
But I thought it was dead, and then it just sprouted out sort of beneath.
Yuccas are pretty hardy, though.
I think she lopped it, you know, she pruned it.
No, but yuccas are pretty hardy. I mean, they're desert plants,
well,
aren't they?
You want to grow yuccas now.
Yeah, well, I probably will, because bay trees are blooming expensive as well.
Of course.
And all three of them snapped off.
Well, you do have a birthday in August, being a Pyrex. What I was going to say, that's an in-joke, listen, if you don't know what Pyrex is, it's his star sign.
I'm a test tube baby.
Yeah, exactly. He is really a Leo. But what I was going to say, my neighbour, who's 77, I just texted her this morning, the lovely Wendy, and she's got a rescue dog from Turkey. And
hold on.
I was just warning her that...
She's got a dog or a turkey?
She's got a rescue dog.
A rescue dog, okay, not a pet turkey.
Hails from Turkey.
All right.
Yeah.
Taxi! Take me to Istanbul. Right.
And it's tailless, poor thing. It's had a very traumatic life.
The turkey or
it's
the
a
dog?
Street dog. Can you see what he's trying to do there? So anyway, long story short, I texted her to make sure she was okay with the winds and to warn her that Canterbury City Council,
here we go.
A place where we've been able to walk our dogs very happily for forever, you know, before my time, I've been there 30 years. They've now decided to fine people with their dogs off the lead on this wild area. It's about wildlife, but, you know, there's bits where birds nest, but we don't go near that anyway. We were on paths. Anyway, they decided that dogs are easy pickings, dogs walkers. And she, little old lady, got fined £100, and she's just got this Labrador that walks behind her.
Right.
But they won't worry about the electric bikes or the electric scooters on the promenade. They'll just get dog walkers. It's very sad.
They do it to annoy you, Jules, that's why.
They do, and they do it very well, annoying me.
I know, I saw the spat you had again the other night.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he's front of house on Twitter, but we won't mention
that.
Yeah,
we won't even go there.
Casey's listening. But poor Wendy also, I said, how'd you get on the wind? And she fell in her fish pond, it blew her in the fish pond. And she's on her own, she's about 77 or something.
You shouldn't laugh, but that's funny.
And she couldn't get out.
Oh no.
It's even worse. And I was concerned for her frogs, of course, because, you know, she may have squashed them. bless her. It is sad, isn't it?
It is,
but it's
yeah.
the vision, yeah. you know. And of course, she would have been covered with slime and all sorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Driving through today, because you know, as I come through to Ashford, there's quite a few woods, aren't there? And a lot of trees. So I'm going to go and perhaps go in my wheelbarrow and get some kindling.
On the Friday evening, my old mum's alarm went off. So, you know, she's got one of these lifeline alarms. So I had to go over to my mum. She lives at Headcorn. I live in Tenterton. And on the, 9 miles between the two?
The Americans don't know what you're talking about now. Headcorn, no, Tenterton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Kent.
On the drive, my car was hit 3 times by falling logs.
Debris.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Did you get them? Because you know I have got a wood burner. I spend a fortune on wood.
I haven't got a wood burner, but I've got the I've got the entire stock of Kent's wood in my garden.
I'll give you a monkey for it.
Will you? Yeah. I don't need a monkey.
If you season it, I'll give you a monkey for it.
Yeah, I prefer a turkey.
But it has been inclement weather.
Yeah.
But it's not cold, actually. I mean, I know you said you were cold, but I've had my windows open, Paul Andrews, in my house.
Oh, no, it's icy rain in our place.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've had the windows open, and it's been, I think, quite... we didn't really have the heating on. I think we put it on last night, but didn't have it on this morning.
Anyway.
But then I am menopausal, you see,
yeah,
so I get hot.
See, you get hot.
We have our own radio.
You get hot in Greenland, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I've seen some really good pictures of trampolines.
Oh yeah, on the roof,
wrapped around a chimney of a house.
Yeah.
I did have the forethought to.
Can you say that again?
Forethought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did have the forethought to secure our trampoline because I've lost one in the past.
How often do you go on your trampoline, Paul?
Me?
Yeah.
Never.
Oh, well, you did say our. You see, so I'm taking
Well, it's my trampoline.
Yeah.
Lucy tramples on it and bounces.
It would be extremely good for you because there's no sort of, you know, pressure on your knees at your age.
It wouldn't be good for me because I can't even get up onto it.
Yeah, well, as long as you just... Well, you could get a little step ladder and get on.
Right.
It'd be great for your core.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I've got a sensible question to ask.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Go on.
Who might our sponsor be?
Ah, right.
Because I lost track.
Yeah.
It was Telford and now it's someone else.
Yeah. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with Tenterton District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the area covered by Tenterton and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rolvenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittisham and Woodchurch. The Tenterton District Chamber of Commerce exists to promote the sustainable economic development of the area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. You can find them on www.tentertonchamber.org and very pleased we are indeed to have them sponsoring the show.
They're doing remarkable work in for keeping the high street going and,
yep.
and helping the businesses
yep.
and everything else. We love them. And we also love their greyhound, of course, Casey Canine, who's their sort of mascot.
Absolutely.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
We've had quite a few tweets. So
we have. Do you want to read one?
Yeah, if I can find one. I, my timeline is mostly full of vaccine damage, as you
yeah.
know. Let's have a look. Oh, Tracy is listening. So she says a warm well. She's tuned in whilst lino printing and looking forward to the show. Now, you can find Tracy on, first of all, Plucky's World, which is... how she's using it to start conversations and supporting self-awareness. She's a personal growth mentor and also a Prince's Trust mentor. And she says, I love this, the time to do what you love is now. She means right this minute, if you're listening to Business Bunker. And her Twitter is at Tazi, T-A-Z-I-64. Give her a follow, and she's got these Plucky's World cards, which are brilliant.
Did you say she was doing lino printing?
Yeah, so I'm wondering, is that her floor, or is that something...
I don't know.
Arty. I think it's arty. I don't think she's doing her floor.
No, we used to do lino cutting when I was at school.
Yeah, but I think you're talking about floors. I don't get this feeling that she's talking about floors.
No, I'm not. They used to give us a bit of lino, about 4 inches. You know this, Jill, don't
I
you?
Do.
About 4 inches by 4 inches, and this tool, it was really sharp, and then you carve a picture in it, paint it, and you use it to print things.
You see, I went to a rough comprehensive. We didn't do anything like that.
You think I went to a good school, do you?
We didn't do any lino printing. All we did was anything creative, I think, was baking an upside down pineapple cake,
right.
Which I've never made since and never eaten one since. But I don't think we ever did lino. But at my kids' school, they did batik print, which was beautiful.
Right.
That was Clapham's.
We used to do lino printing and raffia work.
Okay, basket making.
It sounded more like reform school.
Yeah, it probably
it sounds
was.
Like that.
It sounds like reform
school. It probably was.
It was special, yeah. It was approved.
Was it... No, I can't.
No, go on.
Right. No, I used to go out with a boy from reform school in Essex.
Yeah.
It was a school called the Sandon House, and they were all mixed race from London, and they were beautiful.
Mm.
This is the 70s, Jill, so they all had afros. They all looked like Michael Jackson. They could dance, and I was about 14, used to get on the bus with my girlfriend, go and snog them.
Right.
And if I was 10 minutes late, my dad would be out in his car driving looking for us. But they were lovely boys, and I'd like to keep in touch with them all. They're all very handsome.
Funny enough, I did some stuff a few weeks back, well, actually before Christmas.
With the Jackson 5?
At Cookham Wood, Borstal, the original Borstal,
okay.
At Borstal, Cookham Wood Young Offenders. I had a fantastic time. I spent the day there chatting.
What did you do with them?
They were starting a radio station.
Oh, really?
Internally, yeah. So
we were say lino printing.
No, they started a radio station internally, and we were just doing radio shows and interviews. And
what's the equipment like?
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Better than this?
Of course it was. Public sector.
Yeah. Money, no object.
The government had bought a sort of arranged stuff, mate. I tried to get away with some of it, but I got caught on the way out.
You should have snaffled some.
Yeah. I said to a couple of the lads, look, you know, if I throw a sheet over the wall later, can you bring some of the stuff with you?
We only need a few plug-in wires. And
yeah, exactly.
Nothing. We keep asking Mikey.
Yeah. No, a really great bunch of lads as well. Really good.
How long are they mostly in there for?
I don't think there's any long-termers, because that's not how it works in the young offenders, is it?
No.
I think it's normally between a year and 18 months normally that most of them do, I think.
Mm.
I didn't really ask. It's not the kind of thing you do. You don't really go, right, well, what are you in for?
I would
yeah,
like,
well, no,
know.
But then you get the same answer. They go, oh, I stitched up, mate, I didn't do anything.
Sorry, I've got someone asking me. There was a murder, or they found somebody dead on Clapham Common, and they used my photo.
they used your photo of a dead person.
No, I was sent a photo of the police all there. It was last night. And then somebody else has said it looks dodgy, and they're asking me if I remember the Windmill Pub on Clapham Common, which, yes, I do. It was my heyday, Clapham. Anyway, we've got loads of tweets coming in. Keep them coming. Let's say a big hello to the lovely Neville Gaunt, who's not at all a Gaunt, is he?
No, he's not. And what does he say?
Well, he's saying, hello, Jules Serkin, Business Bunker. In the biz world, I'm giving away the secrets to success, attitude and hard work. And then there's a video, so I can't click on it. And I haven't got my glasses, so I can't see what the book says. But I will look during the news.
I can't remember the full title because it's a long title, but it's a book that Neville's written and he's giving away free. It's called Everything You Should Have Learned at School But Didn't. I think it's the title of the book.
It might well be that. I can't look.
Yeah, Everything You Should Have Learned at School But Didn't. I think that's the title of it.
It's
and it's really
title.
Good. Yeah. And it's free. So give it a download. Give it a read.
Yeah.
Chips and Dinks have been on as well. And they say, have a great show with your guests today. We can't listen live, so we'll listen on the catch up later. So that's Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. Thank you.
And, yes, we have M Farmers Markets. Hello to you guys. And they say, we run monthly farmers markets in Kent, including Westmorling and Hall Place, Bexley. And, of course, they make fabulous jams and chutneys, as we know. I've got most of them in my pantry, actually. But they said, I'm scrolling, and I've lost it because they do a lot of tweets. Hang on. Tweets and wires. You say something while I look.
Well, here's a fact. Do you know that today is the date today?
Yes.
It's not only a palindrome. It's also an ambigram.
Hang on, isn't a panadram some sort of strange camel that you'd find in
No, that's a dromedary.
Dubai.
No, that's a dromedary. It's not a dromedary.
Okay.
It's a palindrome, and it's also an ambigram.
Okay, you've got to explain what they are.
Okay. The date will read the same from left to right, right to left, and upside down.
Okay, so listener, he's just going upside down to check that.
Yeah.
And it is, of course, a Tuesday then.
It's a Tuesday, the 22 of 02.
Yeah.
22.
It's quite spooky because there's a lot going on in the world at the moment. Of course, freedom at the moment from all restrictions.
Pardon?
Freedom from all COVID restrictions. Doesn't that start?
In England?
Yeah. If you're in Canada, no, I know.
In Canada, no. Yeah, you just get locked up in Canada for going out in the cold.
And you lose your bank account and things.
Yeah, it's awful.
And also appalling. They're closing small businesses that serve the lorry drivers coffee.
Yeah.
I saw. Which is unbelievable. I found M Farmers Market on a brighter note, because we do love our small producers. I'm wearing most of them around my hips.
Mm-hmm.
But as I think Shakira or Beyonce, one of them said, your hips don't lie. Ah, oh, yeah, your hips don't lie. Anyway, I'm wearing
And that's a cheesy chinish for this week's folks.
So she says, using the Bee Bunker hashtag, she's very diligent, you know.
Yeah, very good.
Could you please give a shout out to Westmorling Farmers Market this coming Sunday? So that's the 27th of February. It's from 9:30 to 1:30. And as you know, listener, it's been a really difficult month for farmers, you know, with a number of the markets badly affected by the wind and the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And many have been cancelled or closed early due to the weather. We have to support these guys in the winter,
absolutely,
not just on a nice sunny
day. We have to support them all the year round.
Exactly. The small businesses kept us all going down in, you know, during lockdown when the supermarkets had no slots.
Mm-hmm.
So please remember your local butcher and baker and candlestick maker and all of them.
Yep.
And another one from the potato shop, who were, their whole estate was without power. It's going to cause delays to mail orders, they say, and they're really sorry. But they're still open for cash payments for potatoes, firewood and other produce. So let's have a look. They are at thepotatoshop.com. They're based in Tenterden near you.
Absolutely.
So you could just trot some of your firewood down there to them.
I could do. And swap them for some potatoes.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. Good idea.
Okay, Paragon Drones has said, Vanilla Webb, Jules Serkin, good morning, Paul and Jules. We would love a mention on the Business Bunker Show, please. Well, consider yourself mentioned. That's the lovely folks at Paragon Drones. Give them a follow on Twitter.
And the lovely Tracy Ferguson has, she's obviously avidly listening. She's not really lino printing yet because, you know, she'd have things on her fingers, wouldn't she? Because
she can text.
You know that my phone cover, because I'm always doing pictures of cookery and stuff, It actually reeks, my leather phone colour, of garlic and all sorts of...
am I not surprised?
I've got Ras Al Hanout there, little bit of Cape Malay.
Yeah, I'm getting wafts of blackcurrant.
It's really bad sometimes. Anyway, so she says, yes, Paul, that's right. She's discovered lino cutting and printing last year and she's learning some more techniques, which we'd like to know more of. She loves experimenting with it and so many fantastic lino artists on YouTube. I'm now following two. Amazing. And she's put some beautiful pictures. There's a little peacocky one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's got all her rollery bits. So lovely. I might have to come round and have a look. It looks lovely.
Should we do some cheesy tunage?
Yeah, it's about that time.
Yeah.
What you got?
Which
guest is it alluding to?
Well, we've only got one, so...
We'll have another one later.
Yeah, but that's recorded. We're going to talk to Jill in a minute.
So brownie points for the guest that made it in.
Exactly.
I get what you did there.
Yeah, and...
Is it food, glorious food?
Well, no, because that was a bit too obvious.
Well,
So I didn't do that. I picked a fantastic track, and then when I got here, we didn't have it on the database.
Toast?
No, it was Franz Ferdinand.
What was that one?
Strawberries. But we didn't have it on the...
Strawberry track. Fields?
Yeah.
They're not really in season yet anyway.
No. So, because...
Well, Jill's in season.
No, is she? She's not a poodle, you know.
In a fragrant way.
Yeah. On the way out of my drive, I'm thinking, what shall I play?
Well, as you were bumping over the tree logs.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I suddenly realised the tree hadn't only just come down across my drive, but it completely and utterly demolished the bush the other side.
I hate it when your bush gets a ray, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that. And
poor Jill's never been in the studio before. I think she's rather concerned.
She's edging towards the door. Yeah, I don't blame her.
Little snake hips.
Now, the thing is, on my bush last year, I had a massive crop.
Did you?
I had a massive crop.
You can get Zovirax for that.
I got a massive crop, but I'm not going to get it this year because the bush has been demolished.
Okay.
Which leaves me with this.
Roy Woods, The Boos, Teddy Leg. Very loud.
Very wide.
Standing on the corner, lost in the thick.
Blackberry Way.
Independent financial advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, Blackberry Way there.
Now, we've got quite a long time to wait for blackberries. So
we have, September.
I do love a fresh blackberry.
I've got an even longer time to wait because my bush has been smashed.
Yeah, I know, and it will take a while. You can go down to, get a little blackberry bush and replant, perhaps.
Well, they were wild. They were natural.
Oh, the flavour of a natural one. I always brought my kids up to not eat fruit really out of season. You know, when you see something and it's grown in Morocco or Spain, it's like a strawberry.
Yeah.
You cannot beat an English strawberry, can you?
The thing is, last year, for instance, I've got lots of brambles, lots, all over my garden.
Yeah, I've always thought you're a bit prickly.
Yeah. And I pick them all religiously because I think, you know, they've taken the trouble to grow, so I ought to pick them. Mm. And they're gorgeous, gorgeous tasting
You've
wild
got a
blackberries.
Tree that you're not sure whether it's damsons or something. You had a tree.
I didn't know whether it was greengages or damson.
I mean, I love a Renclaw.
It turned out to be sloes.
Oh, so good with gin.
Yeah.
Very good with gin.
Yeah.
But I love a Renclaw, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I was telling you.
Hang on. Do you know what a Renclaw is?
No, I'm trying to ignore you because I was talking about blackberries.
It's
and
a greengage.
Yeah.
Well,
of course
it
is.
I thought you were fluent in French.
No.
You've always told me.
Well, I haven't got a greengage. I've got sloes. Oh, I forgot what I was saying now. You interrupted me. I was talking, thank you, Jill.
Yeah.
I was talking blackberries. I had a massive crop of blackberries and I ate as many as I could and we made as many
pies.
Apple and blackberry, because I've got some apple trees as well.
You can freeze them, you know.
I'm just, oh, Anyway, I froze them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I opened the freezer the other day and I got bags and bags and bags and bags and bags of frozen blackberries.
Lovely.
Yeah. And soon it'll be blackberry time again. So I'll have even more fresh ones. So I'm not going to defrost them. So
I tell you, I use frozen berries in winter every day.
What do you do with them?
I put them in my smoothies Monday to Friday.
See, I don't do smoothies.
Monday to Friday. And then of an evening, I might cook some pears and apples and add some to that.
Yeah, we made some jam out of it and stuff. But
yeah. No, yeah. Just put them in a smoothie or put them in a cooked fruit. Lovely. Yeah. If you chop up a few pears and apples,
yeah,
apples and pears, and then plonk them in.
Yeah, I think probably...
of a winter's night with custard.
I'll probably need to eat more roast duck. That's what I would need with a blackberry
very
sauce.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you saw my duck legs on Valentine's Day, what my new husband
cooked.
Yeah,
they're all right now.
Yeah.
With your tin,
he did them
with
in
your tin knee.
he did them in a heart shape for me.
I saw that.
That's very sweet.
What an old romantic,
yeah.
Eh?
And I wouldn't let him go and buy flowers because it's ridiculous. I said, please. Yeah, we've been together. He's my new husband. We've been together a while. And I said, please don't buy flowers. It's ridiculous. And they'll be flown in from Kenya or somewhere. And he went and picked me little things from our garden. We haven't got much because it's winter, but he picked me a few little things. I got a straggly old daffodil.
Oh,
and something
nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. A few berries.
I saw him messing about on the beach the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Fell over the bin, didn't he? That'll learn him.
I thought he'd staged that,
yeah.
Jill. So my new husband, it was, you know how windy it was. So from our window, he's on the beach with a new greyhound. And he's walking backwards, being silly in the wind. And, of course, all the bins had fallen over. And he tripped, did a somersault backwards, right over the bin, huge bin. And I thought he'd stage it. It was like something on TikTok.
Yeah.
Did you give him marks out of 10?
Yeah, I clapped and waved.
He actually had two cards in the window, yeah.
But
artistic interpretation.
Yeah. Luckily, he's quite a bouncy.
Yeah. Anyway, look, let's talk to somebody sensible because this show's completely out of control now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Jill Sargent of Producing Kent. Jill, thank you so much for coming along. We kind of wrote you in at the last minute there last night because...
talking of dogs.
Yeah, because Flergy got stuck overseas. We won't go into that. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us and coming along.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Just kick off by telling the listeners a little bit about your organisation, first of all.
Well, Produced in Kent's a membership organisation and we're working with food and drink producers all across the county, supporting local producers, shouting about why people need to buy local and to support their local economy, their community, their countryside. It's been a pleasure and a privilege for the last couple of years because these guys have worked really, really hard to try and keep everything on track for the rest of us so that we've got great food and drink to eat.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kent is the Garden of England.
Indeed. Despite what Yorkshire try and say occasionally.
Yeah, exactly.
Ayo.
And also the fact that a lot of people keep trying to build all over it. But we do produce a lot of food and drink. And even more so in the last few years, we've kind of diversified into wine, which is now a huge part of the Kent economy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been growing for, it's not really a new thing. The vineyards at Bindon are over 40 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or not.
Yeah.
But yes, it's sort of got into the consciousness. We've been award winning for many years, but that's kind of finally kind of seeped through, I suppose, more into the mainstream. And we like to think of Kent as the wine capital of the UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. As well as the Garden of England.
I love it when I go to London and you get the Kentish wines there. You know, you're in a wine bar or a pub and then you see the Kentish wines.
Sadly for the wine industry, I don't actually drink. I'm teetotal. but where I live, I'm absolutely surrounded by vineyards. I've got Bidden one side, Shappledown the other, Hush Heath just over the road.
Simpsons.
It's partly... part of the problem, if it's a wonderful problem to have as an organisation that's marketing these products, but Kent's issue is that we're actually too good at too much.
Yeah.
We have amazing soft fruit, it's strawberries and raspberries. We have amazing top
and
fruit, apples and pears, and blackberries, of course. But we have beers and wines and ciders and apple juice and wine, and now the huge range of products coming out of the Kent Distillery, the new distilleries that have come on stream.
Of course, we have gin. I know.
Gins, whiskies, vodkas, a whole array of products.
Potatoes.
We've got. you know, all of the traditional horticultural products, the potatoes, all of the sort of meat and dairy.
And of course, Kent's cob nuts.
Kentish cob nuts. So we're awash in a good way with product, but it when somebody asks us what Kent's good at, it can make it quite hard to give a simple answer.
Absolutely. And then we've got the innovative end of the products like Nim's Crisps and Kent Crisps and organisations that are producing that kind of food as well.
It never ceases to amaze us, the innovation and also the sort of tenacity of the producers to look at a product and think, what else can we do? Where can we go next? What's the next evolution of this? It's an ever-changing environment, and it's a really exciting place to be. Even the way we grow things, you know, the way we grew apple trees 20 years ago to 10 years ago to 5 years ago to now is very different.
Because we've got lovely Brogdale, haven't we, in Faversham?
You have, and you've got the East Morling Research Station. I can't remember what it's called these days. It's going to call something slightly different. But East Morling Research Station, where they research apples and pears.
NIAB EMR. Yeah, I mean, they've got to look at ways in which we can provide fruit for generations to come so we can maximise the crop whilst actually looking after the soil health, while actually protecting the environment. So the level of science now in agriculture and horticulture is astounding.
Because we've got the Kent apple grower, Paul Ward, who is like the apple grower, and Riverford, of course, have taken all his organic apples and used them.
It's interesting. I throw this out as an opinion of mine. I don't expect you to comment on it unless you want to. But there's a lot of people about that seem to think that the problem that the world faces is that we have too many people and we're all going to starve to death. But the funny thing is, as the population's grown, we've actually produced more and more and more good quality food. And if you think about it, I'm a child, I was born in the 50s, but when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, almost every week on TV, we saw horrendous pictures of famine around the world. You don't see that anymore. The only time you see famine is when there's a civil war or something like that. You know, something politically has produced it rather than just a lack of food. The food-producing industries have done an absolutely amazing job of keeping us all fed and producing, as you say, innovative products and food that's available all of the time.
I was just thinking about all the cake makers as well. We've got some amazing cake makers in Kent, haven't we? Weddings,
upside down pineapple cake,
I mean, we've got, you know, it goes across the whole piece. We've got butchers and bakers and candlestick makers,
and we've got some amazing bread. All the sourdough that's coming out as well now.
Yeah, and you know, but there is a balance between what we can produce on a local artisan bakery versus what you can produce in a larger manufacturing setting, and it's trying to find the balance between doing that.
Absolutely. I think what a lot of people have started to realise though is, if you want quality food, you have to pay that little bit extra for something that's lovingly made.
I think there's an underappreciation, and there has been for the last 40 years, of the true value of food.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the sense of looking at the impact in terms of sustainability, the impact on the countryside, the impact on our health and well-being.
Yeah.
There is a bigger question about the price of food. And if you look at it in terms of the percentage of earnings 40 years ago, what people spent on food and what we spend now, it's a fraction, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're right. You know, I think a lot of us now will go to an artisan maker of bread or cakes or even meat, you know what I mean. Just around the corner from me, my Christmas turkey comes from a little turkey farm where they do Kelly Bronze turkeys, one of only two in the southeast of England. It costs a fortune, but it's worth it.
It's lovely to buy local, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not just that they're local. It's how it's farmed.
It has legs and muscles in its legs. And it's run around.
It's a huge thing for us in terms of, you know, one of our driving objectives beyond promoting the businesses and supporting the kind of local economy is around sustainability.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the biggest sense. So whether it's about care of the environment, whether that's looking at sustainable communities, whether that's looking at the way in which we operate in a social sense.
Yep.
All of those things have to be kind of, you know, nothing operates in isolation.
It all links together. Yeah.
What news are you getting from our farmers who we know have had a really tough time, and, you know, with Brexit and fruit pickers and people, are they finding it difficult to get fruit picked, or don't you know?
It was a challenge. I mean, obviously it's very difficult to know in the last couple of years how much of that was to do with movement of people, how much of that was to do with COVID restrictions. Mm. You know, we've had multiple challenges over the last couple of years, but they have sort of forged forward and found solutions.
Well, again, it's one of these innovation things, isn't it? There's a lot of automated pickers now. Yeah. Some friends of mine run a big apple farm. They supply Sainsbury's. And they've got these massive umbrella things that go under an apple tree and basically shakes the apples off. That, you know, whereas 30 years ago, they'd employ, you know, at a picking season, they'd employ 50 people to pick it. They've got three now that just manage the machines.
I think that's what they do with olives, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There is a huge amount of, again, technology and research going into sort of AI and in terms of robotics.
Mm.
You know, there are some challenges, but it's fascinating. I mean, they're actually incorporating a lot of techniques and learnings from things like the computer gaming industry.
Yeah.
So how does a strawberry picking robot recognize a ripe strawberry from the underside of a red leaf?
Right. And also pick it without crushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, which is a big thing with soft fruit, isn't it?
And it's one of the challenges people often see that agricultural workers as unskilled, which is a term that I personally...
There's no such thing.
Quite offensive. You know, actually, there's a real skill to picking fruit efficiently, quickly, and without damaging the plant.
Absolutely.
That's left behind.
Yeah, yeah. And not eating too many at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be my problem.
You don't have time to do that when you're going at a commercial rate. But it's a tough job. But it's great to see that we have got solutions in the pipeline. But yeah, it's not been an easy couple of years for lots of reasons.
Absolutely. But hopefully we're coming out of that. And, you know, our food producers are still doing a fantastic job.
Yep.
Despite all the things that they've had to face over the last couple of years.
Yep.
Like a lot of us have as well, you know. But
yep.
So hopefully we're starting to come out of that. Now, you've got a few things happening produced in Kent, and we need to talk about some of those. First of all is the Taste of Kent Awards. So yes. Give us an overview of that, Jill.
Exciting. So the Taste of Kent Awards is the longest running food and drink awards in the whole of the South East and specifically Kent. We are in the midst of the voting at the moment. There's 6 days left. It closes on the 28th of February. So
I must put my votes
in. If people haven't cast their votes yet, please do. We've had almost 30,000 votes cast.
Wow, okay,
so far,
cool.
Which we're delighted to see how many people have engaged with the awards this year. And in addition, on a business sort of footing, I'd like to appeal to the businesses out there to look at some of our self-nominating categories. So there are several of those where we're asking people to really think about their business and put themselves forward.
Right.
So we've got Food and Drink Business of the Year. We've got Diversification. We've got Sustainable Food and Drink. We've got Farmer of the Year. We've got a special new category this year for Kent Startup Business, because we've seen a huge amount of businesses start up in the last sort of COVID period. And also, again, looking at new food and drink products that are coming to market.
Sure.
Again, that innovation, that nobody stands still, everything's moving forward.
What new names have you got coming up, Jill?
Sorry?
What new names have you got, new businesses coming up on these categories, or don't you know yet?
I don't know yet. It's obviously until the votes close and we've had all the applications in.
So we've got 9 days, did you say, or seven?
6 days
six
left.
6 days, TikTok.
So midnight on the 28th of February to get
make
your
sure you go and
in.
Do that and nominate your business, your favourite business.
And it's really important. The awards actually do more than just you know, promote the business. It's actually a real moment, we find, for often the businesses to take a long hard look at themselves and actually realize how far they've come. And that self-reflection they don't get a chance to do very often is part of that application process. But then, you know, we're so delighted after having to do a virtual ceremony last year that we'll be having an in-person ceremony this year, and getting people in a room and celebrating all their achievements. I think that's a really fitting way.
It's really important, isn't it? I would say this because I actually chair a lot of awards presentations, but I thoroughly enjoy it and meeting the range of businesses you meet and seeing the joy on their faces when they get nominated or come in the final three.
I've had many a frolic on the judges' table with Farmer Charles Tassel, as you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for all kinds of awards, you know, it's a brilliant thing for a business and its and its workforce to be recognised for a quality thing. And I love it. I think it's brilliant. Do you know where the award ceremony is going to take place?
We will be back at the Kent Events Centre at Detling.
Right.
We will have a Kentish menu, of course, and lots of Kentish-inspired drinks to keep people entertained. We're hoping to have... about 350 to 400 people there this year. So,
fantastic.
Do you know who your chef is yet? Night. Have you got your chef allocated?
The catering this year will be done by the lovely ladies at the Curious Eatery at Boughton Monchester.
Delicious.
Fantastic. Mm. Oh, I want
to. Is your mouth watering?
I want to come along for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Okay, so that's Taste of Kent Awards.
Yep.
You've got 6 days left for the voting. Can you still nominate people?
Yes. I mean, again, this is open to everybody. If there is already a list under each of the categories, if you scroll through that list and don't see a business that you want to vote for, there's still time to nominate them and add them to that list and just talk to your friends, family, and get everybody involved.
And you can self-nominate. So.
Yes, indeed.
So get to it. If you run a food or
food and drink business in Kent that sources locally.
Yep, do it. Go on, do it. Go on. You want to do it? Do it. Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you for that, Jill. I'd like to move on now and talk about your new fantastic app. I keep wanting to call it Fruit Loop, which, of course, is completely wrong. It's Food Loop, it's Food Loop, but I just keep saying Fruit Loop because
It's fine. It's an easy mistake to make. Because obviously running the membership organisation and helping support all these businesses and then running the Taste of Kent Awards isn't really enough to do. So we thought...
You had a spare 5 minutes, so you thought you'd do something else.
One of the biggest issues that we felt... needed to be addressed was around food waste. It's a huge problem nationally.
Sure.
We're in an environment where we need to be using more of the edible food that's produced and not just putting it into aerobic digesters or landfill. Food Loop has taken us 8 months to fundraise to get it off the ground, but we're delighted to say that it's about to launch. There are lots of other apps that people may have come across out there, things like Olio or Too Good To Go, which are very much about that kind of business to consumer or consumer to consumer marketplace. This is very squarely aimed at businesses to businesses. Mm. So this is taking produce that for whatever reason is unable to be used and putting it on an app and connecting it to people who can use it, whether they be community groups, whether they be charities, whether it's community cafes or Fair Share. What became apparent was there were people who could use the product and there were businesses that had product that would potentially be going to waste, but how they found each other was the missing link.
Sure.
So the app has really been created to create that. If I think you might like this analogy. So if you want to think about it, it's a dating app for food.
Right, okay, all right. You don't want to get that confused, do you? You know, it's me swiping right on some apples.
I think people are scared of leftovers. I actually love leftovers. And, you know, even if we get a bit of old lettuce or something that's sort of rotting in the bottom of the thing, I'll chuck it in a soup or something. You can always do something.
I'm forever being told off. Amanda says to me, have you read the sell-by date on that? I go, smells all right.
Exactly, if it smells all right.
Yeah. I think there's a huge amount of education to do around use-by dates, sell-by dates. People still don't understand the difference. And there's a genuine fear, and there are some things that one shouldn't eat because they will do you harm, but there's a lot
like
of
like an old oyster or something.
Interrupt, but I saw this yesterday, and it was scary. A young lad had both his legs amputated after he ate a pork chop that somebody had left in a fridge. And he ate it, and he got some kind of bacterial infection from it, and he ended up having his legs amputated. Gosh. I mean, that's appalling, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, pork can be very...
It can be very iffy.
Yeah.
But you're right, you know, there is a reason
that
why...
That sounds like sepsis, that he got from it.
But I don't want to be horrible about it, but because you're absolutely right, that, you know, you have to be careful that you don't eat something wrong. But I think we need to address this whole sell-by, use-by date thing, because it is confusing people.
And there are changes coming in about that. But, I mean, yes, at the moment, UK households waste something like 6.5 million tonnes of edible food every year. Sorry, 6.5 tonnes of food, about 4.5 million tonnes of which is still edible.
Right.
And that's an astonishing figure.
It is, isn't it? It's going to be worse this weekend.
Why?
After all the power cuts, everybody chucking the contents of their freezers away.
Well, our freezer, we've got a freezer in the garage, and my new husband had pulled it out without knowing the electric, and there was a little puddle on the floor. And so we spent one evening eating party food, like from Marks and Spencer's that I got for Christmas. The whole evening, just party food, you know. It's just what you do, isn't it?
Yeah,
but we do throw away far too much food. And... Anyway, so you're trying to address that with a dating app.
but again, this is in a business setting. So there are some amazing charities out there doing fantastic things with social kitchens, with community cafes, getting healthy food to people who need it. And it's about linking that, you know, that the app is really a connectivity tool which will help them link together. At the moment, the pilot will be Kent, but we've also teamed up with the guys in Northampton to run a second pilot up there as part of the year. And we hope that it really will become a sort of a social tool that helps to create that sense of community as well, where everybody gets on board.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's one of those funny things. I don't dwell on the political side of it, but, you know, things like food banks are a massive demand right across Europe. You know, a lot of people get a bit political about it, but the food bank industry is fairly much the same in most countries in the Western world. There's a huge need to not waste food, especially when it's getting so expensive.
But I think Jill's right. It's down to education. And, you know, maybe with parents all working as they do now, when I grew up, my mum did work part-time, but she always cooked a proper meal. And I mean, we have a good chicken, an organic chicken, every week. But that will, I'll cook it, I'll make a soup from it, we'll have a salad-y, chicken-y bit from it. We'll get four meals from it.
I really get quite cross that in the 21st century, we still haven't managed to look at practicalities in education. You know, we're obsessed with stuff like GCSEs and, you know, squaring the hypotenuse and logarithms, stuff that 99% of kids will never use. But we never teach them to cook anything.
Yeah, or change a plug.
Or change a plug, or how to balance their bank account. We never teach them practical skills. You know, when I was at school, I went to an all-boys school, so we didn't do it. But the girls that were in the school next door used to do a thing called domestic science, which is cookery.
That. Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a sex thing, is it? I mean, boys should be able
Loads
to cook as much as
cooks.
Men.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I'm really pleased of, both my kids are really good cooks, and my youngest is a really, really good cook. And they quite often cook. And in fact, if they come to visit, they insist on cooking.
It's a whole range of issues. And, you know, it's also knowing the knowledge of what to do with the food, but it's also access to equipment. It's the cost of running the gas and electricity to do it. It's understanding recipes.
Yeah.
There's a whole list that goes beyond that. But this is we want to do this kind of business to business connection so that at least as much of that, and again, we're looking at a lot of hopefully fresh produce in this rather than a lot of the stuff that goes into to charities like Fair Share Now is actually processed and packaged food.
Yeah, and tinned stuff.
So this is about trying to link in that fresh and that healthy food and get that on the table in front of people.
Going back to the humble, to talking about Kent, that we're famous for growing the humble cauliflower. And you can do so much with a cauliflower. You know, very, very funky now, cauliflower rice going everywhere. And just baking a cauliflower, putting some yogurt on top and some a nice spice like ras el hanout or something. It's a cauliflower. It costs nothing, you know. It can be really tasty. And kids don't know about that sort of thing, I don't think.
I think it has changed. I mean, one of the projects we've been involved in many years, that the Kent County Showground charity actually run a project called Living Land at Detling, where they get in about 3,000 school children on a day and educate them about the rural world. And I have to say, in the many years of doing that, the questions have changed and the knowledge has definitely got better.
Wow.
I no longer get asked if strawberries go on trees.
Yeah, it's
Jill, that's fantastic, and we wish you much success with the Food Loop app.
Thank you.
It's a fantastic thing. Foodloop.app is where you can find it if you're interested in such things. Just before we go over to the newsroom, which we're due to go over to in a couple of minutes' time, I think you've got an event coming up fairly soon as well.
Yes, so I mentioned, I think, that, you know, one of our big areas is about sustainability. So we're holding an event on the 10th of March. It's a virtual event, so anyone can join us between 1 and 5, about carbon neutrality and how your business can get there. We've got a whole range of expert speakers, and we'll also be looking at the funding that's available to help people on that journey. The details can be found on our website again, but yeah, it's about taking independent food and drink businesses on this route to carbon neutrality and helping on that net zero journey.
Fantastic. So all of that can be found on the Producing Kent website, which is www.producingkent.co.uk.
Yes, it is, Paul. Thank you.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. And that link is actually on the Business Bunker website as well, and it will stay there forever. So if you didn't write it down, then just look at the website and it's on there.
It's also poignant to know that it's Fair Trade Fortnight coming up.
If
it hasn't already started, yeah, Fair Trade.
How long's that running for?
Fortnight.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
14 days, eh?
Yeah.
Jill, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's a fascinating topic. It's especially important in Kent because we are the Garden of England, whatever the rest of them say. all the best food in Europe is produced here, without any shadow of a doubt, from strawberries, apples.
Everything.
Grapes.
Beer.
Beer.
Ale.
Oysters.
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 As long as there's not, you know what in the sea.
Oh, we don't talk about that.
We don't want to talk about that.
We are the Garden of England, and we should be rightly proud of it, and we need to support these guys all year round, every year.
Absolutely.
And remember the farmers markets, especially the time they take to put up their stalls, and then it rains, or you've got to go. You must go. What a lovely way to shop as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Jill Sargent of Producing Kent, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Cool. We've got a few minutes before we go over to the newsroom. I've got a tweet from Gravesham Council.
Oh, what are they saying?
They say, hold on. Are you growing a business in Gravesham? We're looking for businesses, large or small, with new ideas or projects to grow their businesses who might benefit from a grant worth up to £10,000. So if you're based in Gravesham, if you go to gravesham.gov.uk/home/business, you might be able to land yourself a 10K.
Well, Martin Reeves of Collector's Buddy, he's the founder of Collector's Buddy, and he is on collectorsbuddy.org.uk. Big hello to him. He's based around here, Ashford.
He's based near. In Ashford, he is indeed.
He's probably listening in his loft.
Oh, look at this. Biscalicious.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Biscalicious have sent me a picture of their biscuits that they've been baking today, which are all twos.
Oh, wow.
yeah.
And where are they based?
They are in Maidstone.
You've made me want a biscuit.
They're in Maidstone. What else you got, Jules?
We have a free event for social media buffs, if you want to know a little bit more. It's by, do you remember my little show when you swanned off somewhere and I had all women in my studio?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
I was listening at home, pulling my hair out.
Yeah, we had quite a cackle we did. Thursday the 24th of February, which is not manana, but the next day, 11 to 1, it's a 1-hour roundtable discussion Ali, Graham and Martin will be sharing their top tips for showing your personality into your online content. www.wedosocialmedia.co.uk to book your free space. Quite right, show your personality. I hate to see a timeline that just reels out stuff. Very nice to have a little engagement, isn't it?
It is indeed.
There's a new networking group which launched. The venue is at the Hive in Edenwood, which is Chatham Road, Bluebell Hill, Aylesford.
Mm-hmm. It's the old Kits Coty restaurant.
Okay, yeah. It's edenwoodhive.co.uk to find them. And they've got quite a few dates. So I suggest you go on that website, edenwoodhive.co.uk, and have a look when they are. But they start from Thursday the 3rd of March.
Absolutely. Tracy Ferguson's been on. What a wonderful initiative that Jill told us about. A dating app for food. I love it.
Secure your free place with ZC Social Media, who's a frequent guest. Did you miss the last Social Media Success Masterclass, they ask? Due to its success and popular demand, we've decided to run it again. 21st to 25th of March. Go on to www.zcsocialmedia.co.uk, .com, that is, socialmedia.com, with a / Social Media Success Mastercard, and you can book your slot.
The eagerly anticipated Kent and Medway Business Summit has secured another key sponsor for the event this April. For the second year running, it has agreed a partnership with the British Business Bank. The one-day networking event is organised by the Kent Business School at the University of Kent, bringing together some 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics. The bank will join headline sponsors Creston Reeves and Thompson Snell and Passmore in supporting the summit, which takes place at the University's Canterbury campus on Wednesday, April the 27th. If you want to find out about that and to book your tickets, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, you can find a link to it there. And of course, the Kent Business Summit was originally managed by a certain Flirty Hitter.
Indeed.
Yeah. Before she became chief executive of Produced in Kent.
Yes.
Everything's connected in this county.
It generally is.
Yeah. I want to tell you about some awards. We were talking about awards earlier for food and drink producers. There's also the Southeast Construction Awards 2022. Platinum sponsors are All Health Matters. One of the best things you can do for your business, the businesses that will always stand out are those that have award winning next to their name, because it raises them above their competitors. Winning a business award can open doors for getting contracts, finding new supply channels and breaking into new markets. The Southeast Construction Awards are free to enter, and you can enter as many categories as you wish. The categories are Women in Construction, Best Construction Project, Best Architectural Design, Construction Contractor, Best Supplier and the Best Apprentice. Entering the awards is free, quick and simple, and is done by going to www.constructionexpoawards.co.uk, and the closing deadline is Friday the 2nd of September, but don't leave it so long.
There is a new programme to help plant-based food businesses hit net zero in Kent. And it's a training programme called Growing Green, which will help horticultural food and drink businesses in Kent meet the net zero targets by giving them the skills, knowledge and funding to become more sustainable. How long have I got?
It's quite 2 minutes.
Okay, so led by the NIAB as part of the Growing Kent and Medway project. I'm just going to read out the website in case I have to stop. To register your interest in the Growing Green initiative, please go to 3ws.growingkentandmedway.com/growing-green. And participating businesses will benefit from upskilling with bespoke training packages, diagnostic audits to identify opportunities to innovate, development of decarbonisation action plans, seeing net zero technologies in practice, and innovation grants. And we love a grant on the Business Bunker.
We certainly do.
It's funded by the UK government and Growing Green partners through the UK Community Renewal Fund. So it's worth going onto that website, growingkentandmedway.com, Growing Green. That's a guest for the Scoff Show, I do believe.
Fantastic. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another